In its upcoming budget, the city of Phoenix plans to funnel money and add staff to an advocacy program housed in the fire department that right now can't meet demand. But as KJZZ's Matthew Casey reports, police reform activists oppose the plan that city officials hope will build community trust.
All right, we are dispatched out.
Crisis response supervisor Melissa Ziervogel is at the wheel of a red 15-passenger van. Right now, the Phoenix Fire Department has four of these, but when and how they're used is complicated.
There may be times that we only have one van in service to cover the entire valley.
I'm riding along with Ziervogel, a counselor, and her partner, a social worker. They're the people police can call for help when parents don't pick up their child after school, or someone whose father just died has to wait for a mortuary to come get their body.
What we do is we go out to work with individuals in their most traumatic times of their lives.
The city wants to pump $15 million into Ziervogel's team, add staff, and get them a new partner for behavioral and mental health care. I ask Ziervogel for her take on the plan that's been tagged as public safety reform.
There is no, for me, defund the police. What we're going to be able to do is to alleviate some of the calls that police get dispatched out on that they shouldn't be.
Reform activists, including many who do want to defund the police, don't think the city's plan goes far enough. They object to the advocacy unit staying within the fire department, an agency they say is too close to the police.
What we have is an initiative for a completely independent first responder unit.
Civil rights activist Jacob Rayford says under this costlier model, a neighborhood-organized crisis assistance program would respond to all nonviolent and non-criminal calls. The plan is inspired by a 24/7 mobile program in Eugene, Oregon.
This is 120% about life preservative measures.
City officials have referenced the same program called CAHOOTS, which gets called into action via Eugene's Communications Center for police, fire, and ambulance.
We do recognize that taking a good majority of the dispatches from the police department and housing it under this new department would relieve them from, you know, the burden of work that they go through.
The police were exactly who Stacy Whitaker Harris did not want at her apartment last August. Her son came in from Baltimore, and her mom sense quickly told her he wasn't himself.
Then he started saying something about somebody had poisoned him, put something in his drink, and he had passed out, and when he woke up, like, he was Jesus.
Whitaker Harris says she spent most of the day trying to find her son help, but none came, and he got more agitated. She asked neighbors not to call 911, but eventually did so herself. The call was tagged as domestic violence. Lots of police came and restrained her son.
If you call for a mental health crisis and a person goes to jail, they're still not getting the support or the help that they need.
Records show Whitaker Harris's son was arrested on suspicion of assault and unlawful imprisonment. She says he's been diagnosed with a serious mental illness and is getting treatment.
It's been a lot.
Whitaker Harris questions the sustainability of the city's plan to expand the advocacy team within the fire department. First responders are already overwhelmed, she notes. Melissa Ziervogel, the crisis response supervisor in the ride-along van, says this reality is why she hates the words defund police.
How can we defund something that's already so understaffed?
Ziervogel is excited to grow the team she discovered as an intern and has been with off and on for a decade. Part of the process is to review policy and decide what calls they can take without police. These could involve the homeless and people having anxiety attacks.
If we can help them with these other things so that they can focus on the things that they were trained on, the types of calls that they really should be going out on, those crime-related calls, right on.
Ziervogel is confident her team can do more to help Phoenicians than it's able to do now. And if the plan for them to get more money and resources is part of the final budget approved by the City Council, they'll have a chance to prove it. Matthew Casey, KJZZ News, Phoenix.